You are listening to the YLM Sermon of the Week podcast with Pastor Cassandra Foy. Be blessed and refreshed by this relevant word from the Lord.
Come on, don't stop praising God. Just give him 60 seconds of your time. Hallelujah. Give him 60 seconds of your time and just give him praise. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 So, Father, we thank you today and we give you glory. We magnify your holy and righteous name, for you alone are worthy to be praised. God, there is nobody like you in all the earth. We appreciate you. We adore you, God. We say yes to your will and yes to your way. Oh, God, we say yes to your will and yes to your way. Father, we pray for your people on today. They shall receive your word. They should not just be hearers, but doers also. And God, we thank you for our virtual audience on today. We thank you, oh God, that you will even meet them where they are today, God. God, let them know that you see them. And you hear their prayer. And Father, we just love you. We thank you for your word on today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. Amen. There's nobody like our God. I am convinced of that. There's nobody like our God. Amen, amen. To God be all the glory. Well, it is word time. We thank God for the opportunity to share the word on today. We thank God for our senior leaders, our overseers, our Apostle Willie Talbert and our Apostle Mamie Talbert. Amen. And we thank God for our senior pastor, Pastor Steve Talbert. Amen. His absence on today. Hallelujah. And our sister Melissa Talbert. We love them and we love the Talbert family. Amen. And we thank God for the anointing upon their life. I do honor my husband on today, Pastor Hector Foy. Amen. A great man of God. Love him dearly. Amen. And to all of you that are here in the sound of my under the sound of my voice and those that are online, we want you to take this opportunity for those that are online now to go ahead and share, like, comment, because I believe there's someone that needs to hear this word on today. There's someone, hallelujah, on the edge today, and they need this word. So we want you to be okay with sharing on today. Don't be stingy. Don't be selfish. Share the word on today because somebody needs it. We never know who's looking and who's in need of what is being ministered on today. Amen, amen. So we thank God for the word. We want you to get your Bibles on today, and we want to turn to the book of Jeremiah. We know that we're in a series, amen. I'm loving this series, Conquering the Giants, Overcoming Obstacles, amen, in our faith. And we've heard about conquering fear, we've heard about conquering doubt, conquering pride, amen. Today we're going to be talking about victory over the giant of discouragement. Yeah, victory over the giant of discouragement. That is something that the enemy really tries to throw at the people of God. I needed that word this week. Listen, I needed that today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all don't even know. Hallelujah. But we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 through 18. If you can stand in reverence of God's word, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version, but I believe it will be on the screen as well. Amen, amen. That's Jeremiah 20. Verse 7 through 18. And it reads, Jeremiah said, O Lord, you have persuaded me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I am a laughing stock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must shout out. I shout violence and destruction because the word of the Lord has become to me a reprimand and a mockery, and has brought me insult all day long. If I say I will not remember him or speak his name anymore, then my heart becomes a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am very weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot endure it, nor contain it any longer. For I have heard the whispering and defaming words of many, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my familiar and trusted friends, those who are watching for my fault, say, perhaps he will be persuaded and deceived. Then we will overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread champion, one to be greatly feared. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not overcome me. They will be completely shamed, for they have not acted wisely and have failed in their schemes. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who examine the righteous, who see the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the needy, one from the hand of evildoers. Now watch this. Cursed be the day on which I was born, my God. Do not bless the day on which my mother gave birth to me, my God. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, saying, a son has been born to you, making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew without regret. Let him hear an outcry in the morning and a shout of alarm at noon, because he did not kill me before my birth, so that my mother might have been my grave and her womb always pregnant. Why did I come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been filled with shame? So is the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. As you're taking your seats, I want you to shout out victory, over the giant of discouragement. Whew. My God. That thing right there messed me up. Because when you think about what people are going through, it's real. And sometimes we take it for granted and we dismiss what people are going through and what they're experiencing. But if Jeremiah, who was a prophet, experienced discouragement, what make you think that we as people of God won't experience discouragement? But somebody say, there is hope. There is hope. Hallelujah. We want to look at some key points today. We want to look at Jeremiah's battle with discouragement. That's one thing we're going to look at. We want to look at what can lead to discouragement. We also want to know where to find hope and strength when we're dealing with discouragement, and how to overcome discouragement. Now, before we get into that, we want to define discouragement. Discouragement is a feeling of being disheartened or demotivated or losing confidence, often arising from setbacks, challenges, or unmet expectations. It occurs when someone feels that their efforts are not yielding the desired results, leading to frustration. Anybody frustrated? Hopelessness, or the belief that success or progress is unattainable. I was right there, right there. Discouragement is a deficient of courage, to put it simply. When you are truly rooted in faith, you have the ability, and I don't think we realize that, we have the ability to face uncertainty, adversity, suffering, but our faith has to be fueled with hope that God will keep his word. Hallelujah. And that's no matter what. The word discourage means to take away someone's courage or enthusiasm. The goal is to deter us. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, said that discouragement is like a noose. And when he said that, I would begin to research about noose. I said, wow, God, So it's about to get real uncomfortable for a moment in here, because a noose is a loop. And if you think about what that looks like, and it has you, as you tighten it, it begins to choke and suffocate. The tightening of the noose around the neck cuts off the air and blood flow, leading to suffocation, strangulation, or neck injury. Anxiety, stress, suicidal thoughts, it's all connected and is designed to suffocate our purpose, the purpose that God has for our life. Somebody say, I have a victory over the giant of discouragement. The noose is a symbol of hatred and oppression and intimidation. The devil don't like who you represent. It's not even that he don't like you. He don't like who you represent. He don't like what God put inside of you. So he comes to suffocate your purpose out of you. Hallelujah. And then I was sitting the other day, and the Holy Spirit started showing me the enemy with a noose around different individuals. And it was around their neck. And the devil had started pointing demons to kind of take their turns, just leading people different places. And some people was fighting back. But then there were those, Mr. Harley, that wasn't fighting back. They were just going with the flow, walking it out. But somebody said, the devil is a liar. I think it's funny. I was on the way down. I thought about Jeremiah's name and how his name means the Lord exalts. And I think about even our names, what they may mean. And sometimes we have these powerful names, the meaning of them, but yet and still we don't live up to our name. But if somebody say a nickname, we want to live up to that. If somebody talk about what your name means, it's something derogative, because there are names that are derogative. That's why you got to be careful what you name your children. And then they say it's derogative, you want to live up to that. But how about living up to the name that God said? When he said you're the righteousness of God, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're more than a conqueror, living up to that name. You know, I think about even the things that we go through. I'm going to call out the son of the right hand given by God. But yet he goes through every day on a daily basis dealing with different things physically and emotionally and mentally. But the son of the right hand given by God. I think about those names who mean warrior and conqueror, but yet we are still trying to defeat the things that we're dealing with every day. Victory over the giant of discouragement. So let's look at some of these points we're talking about. The first point, we said the Jeremiah's battle. So the prophet Jeremiah's battle with discouragement. Jeremiah carried a heavy assignment. He had to proclaim the gospel to some disobedient folk, some hard-headed people, people that I would not want to wake up next to. Jeremiah carried this heavy burden. His message seemed to always be that of doom and gloom. But that was only because the people didn't want to listen. You know, that's why people always say, they always, you know, talking this, talking that. That's because you won't listen. Discouragement comes because a lot of times we won't listen. God is trying to give us instructions and direction, but we want to go our way, not his way. They continue to be disobedient. Jeremiah would lament and weep. Even with all the people did to Jeremiah, he wept for them anyway. Could you imagine that? They tormented him, all the things they did to him. We're going to talk about that. But yet he still wept for them. And they didn't even care about him. Jeremiah was saying, but God, they're trying to kill me. Like, really, God, why me? Why was I picked for this assignment? He's known as the weeping prophet because he wept for the people. I can only imagine Jeremiah's weeping while he's prophesying. He's giving them a word, trying to get them out of their situation, giving them direction, telling them what God's saying, but yet they won't listen, and he's just crying and weeping while he's telling them. And they still have no emotion from that. They still will not budge. Jeremiah said, I didn't raise my hand for this assignment. These folks are trying to kill me. They want me dead. And here he is trying to just give them the word of the Lord. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They beat him. He was rejected. He was isolated. He was in prison. He was left to starve and die. Even after all that, after all you've gone through, you still have victory over the giant of discouragement. When you look at verse 7 and 8, it says that Jeremiah said, "Oh, Lord, you have persuaded me, and I was deceived." You know, he's like, "God, listen, you put me out here. You gave me this assignment, and they're mocking me. They're tormenting me. Every time I speak, I'm being mocked all day long. I'm being insulted all day long." Jeremiah, like, "I'm tired of this." If we go back to verse 1, we will find that Jeremiah was put in stocks by a man named Pasher. He was a priest and temple overseer. He was a person of authority. And so he didn't like what Jeremiah was saying, because Jeremiah was prophesying to him too, telling him what God was going to do to him if he didn't straighten up. So not only was Jeremiah persecuted, but his persecution brought about some inner struggles. What are you struggling with today? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what are we really struggling with today? Jeremiah's persecution by Pasher, like I said in the verse 1 through 6, if you go back, he was brutally beaten on him. He put him in stocks as punishment. And if you look at the Hebrew word for stock, it's mepeket, which means causing distortion. So they would put him in a stock which has holes. And I always thought that a stock was just put your head in your hands. And I didn't know they put your feet in the stocks. So the older version, before they came with the stock 2.0, was you just get your foot in there, both your feet, to immobilize you so you cannot move. And then they would leave you out there in the square, if you will, in the town, downtown, right? Right in the middle of everything where everybody can see you. And mock you, scorn you, throw things at you while you're sitting in the stocks. That's what they did to Jeremiah. I want you to see it. I want you to picture it. Because I think a lot of times we forget that other people are going through stuff too. We're in this bubble, in this box, like, "I'm going through this, I'm going through that. Oh, woe is me. Well, pity party, all this." But there's other people going through stuff too. When was the last time you were in the stock? When the last time you were put out at the square and put on display? Sometimes we have to put things in perspective. Hallelujah. So they ridiculed him, publicly shamed him. And after being released, Jeremiah delivers his message from God to Pasher, declaring that his name would be changed to Magar-Meshebab, meaning terror on every side. My God. Don't mess with God. And don't mess with God's people, I'm trying to tell you. I got some stories to tell you. Hallelujah. Don't mess with God. And don't mess with God's people. And it's not that you pray that people get sick or die. You don't pray that kind of prayer. But let me tell you, God, he said, "Vengeance is mine." He said, "He will repay." We don't have to look for vengeance. God will do that. I remember working at a certain place. It was years ago. And the owner of the place said something to somebody else about me, which was a lie. And the person came back and told me, and because she knew it was a lie. And I told her, I said, "Well, you know, I'm gone now anyway. So, you know, that's up to them and God. I have nothing to do with that." 2 days later, the whole place closed down. I'm trying to tell you, we got to be careful what we say and what we do with God's people. So look at your neighbor and say, "Don't mess with me. I belong to God." So he had told Pasher, he said, "Listen, you're going to be taken captive by Babylon and you're going to die there." Could you imagine somebody coming up and just saying this, prophesying that? People probably would run out the church and say, "I can't prophesy that to them." Well, we want everything else, but we don't want the truth. So sometimes the prophecy is not always cars, house, spouse. The prophecy, you got to get your act together, straighten up, or you're going to see the hand of God, and it's not going to be a good hand. Hallelujah. It'll be good for you. It may hurt, but it'll be good for you. What can lead to discouragement? Difficult situations and circumstances can lead to discouragement. Are you dealing with any difficult situations or circumstance right now? Sometimes we have to dig deeper. We're looking at the surface of things. We need to dig deeper. When we go through life, if we don't deal with our issues, our fears, those sins, those things that easily beset us, the word says, if we don't deal with those things, hallelujah, that can be a problem. Because as we don't deal with them, guess what's happening? They're getting bigger and bigger. You're getting more entanglement, more entanglement. We're not dealing with it from the very beginning. There was something that the Lord had told me to read off some of, because I was doing some research. I said, okay, God, discouragement. Yes, I know. We see the discouragement, but we always know there's something else attached to that. And there were some things that the Lord spoke to me. He said, spirit of hopelessness is attached to discouragement. It's one of the primary fruits of discouragement. When someone feels discouraged, they may start to believe that there is no future. Jeremiah 29:11, God reassures his people that he plans for their welfare and a future full of hope. The spirit of depression, that's another spirit. Depression can take root when discouragement persists for a long period of time. The spirit of weariness and fatigue. Discouragement can lead to spiritual and emotional exhaustion. Spirit of rejection can fuel discouragement, especially when someone feels unworthy or unloved. Spirit of anxiety or worry, and that's a big one nowadays, often accompanies discouragement. Worry about the future, provision, or outcomes can leave someone spiritually paralyzed. Spirit of failure, that's another spirit that's attached to discouragement. Spirit of comparison and jealousy. Stop comparing yourself to other people. God made you unique just how you are. Spirit of bitterness can result from unresolved discouragement. Unresolved discouragement. Spirit of isolation often accompanies discouragement. A person may feel withdrawn from others, either physically or emotionally, may push away support systems. Sometimes we label people and feel like, well, they feel like they're better than me. You know, why they not coming over here with the group? You don't even know what they're going through. They may be going through that spirit of isolation. They may be having a self-pity moment at that time. Spirit of anger and frustration can stem from discouragement, especially when things don't go as expected. So we have to look at that, but the root of that thing is fear and unbelief. And we've been talking about fear a lot lately. Did y'all notice that? Fear and unbelief is at the root of discouragement. And we'll talk more about that. But that thing right there got to me. I said, God, look at that. All these things are attached. And you know, one thing that the Lord was showing me too, sometimes we don't see the root. We're looking at the outward appearance. And I'm going to show you something. You know, every now and then the Lord allow me to demonstrate something. And if you see this bag, you may not can't see everything that's on. If you see things are stuck to it, and it has the different spirits, rejection, failure, isolation, depression, self-pity, bitterness, all those things it has on it, weariness. And we can go and pray for somebody, or we could counsel somebody and all those things. And then by the time they're done, you see all these things and you pull them, they're coming off, they're dropping off of them daily as they continue to do the things that's required. And then you'll see like they're doing better. You said this bag says blessed by the best. And we'll see these things. But then what happens though, we get to see because we see all the bling, we see they're walking, they're looking good, they come in church every Sunday and all that wonderful thing. But somebody say dig deeper, take a closer look. And then we begin to do that, dig deeper, take a closer look, and then we find all this other stuff that's inside because we didn't get to the root of the matter. And then we get to the root of the matter, then that's what we find what's at the root of this thing. That fear and unbelief. That's what's at the root of it. We missed that because someone came in all dressed up and looked wonderful. And we're like, okay, they're good, they're doing good. But when they go home, they're miserable. They're not sleeping at night. They're being tormented in their sleep. And we can't miss that. We have to dig. Somebody say, dig deeper. Don't be afraid to dig deeper. I was trying to, I got vetoed, though. I was trying to possibly him to bring a whole big plant up in here. I wanted to get it from the root. I wanted to cut the roots off. I wanted to pull out the dirt and everything, just go everywhere. But I got a little vetoed on that. Hallelujah. But I can still see it in the spirit. Amen. Amen. I said, God, that's what he wants to do. He wants to dig down deep, go to that root and cut it, burn it. Not take it out and replant it. That's the problem. We keep looking at it and saying, okay, I could fix it. No, you can't fix that. You can't fix what's demonic. You can't fix the devil. You have to burn that thing off. Like I said, I always say, cut it off at the head. And listen, if you can't cut off the head, cut it at the knee, then cut the head off. We can go there too. Hallelujah. But we have to remember, somebody shout out, victory over the giant of discouragement. The other thing, the Lord, you know, I have been praying for something. I'm still believing God for this thing. Sometimes we're praying and Lord will give you a strategy and change it. And I said to God, I said, God, I'm tired of this right here. He said, instead of praying this, I want you to pray this. So for those who may be dealing with something similar, you may pick it up and say, okay, I got it. You can pray this too. Where there is disorder, God, bring order. If it's a disorder, bring it in order. Because there is some things that are just disordered and need to be brought in line with what God perfectly designed for us. So I'm praying, God, where there's disorder, you bring order in everything. Hallelujah. When we actually feel this discouragement, we have to remember that God is the one on the throne. Because it can be difficult when you're in it to think about that and to remember that. Listen, we're being real. We're real about this thing. So we know it's a real thing. It's not imaginative. It's not something you made up. Discouragement is real. Hallelujah. So we have to get to the root of this. And God spoke this to me as well. He said something about the root of discouragement. He said, if you fear, you will be paralyzed and won't move. And we said fear and unbelief, right? But if you don't believe, not just in God, but in yourself, not only you may move, but you're going the wrong direction. When God said that, I just said, wow, God, wow. Because first he wants to paralyze us, or he's going to put us in the wrong direction. I don't remember probably 10 years ago, I ministered Wrong Turn. And I know, y'all know I don't watch thrillers, right? But for some reason, God had me watch this scary movie. If you ever saw that movie, I think it's No U-Turn or something like that, the movie is, but God said to speak Wrong Turn. And I thought about that. I said, that's a problem. A lot of us are making wrong turns because we won't listen to God. We're running here and there and everywhere. We're going through the same cycle. We keep going back. We keep backsliding. We keep lying. We keep cursing. We keep fornicating. We keep all those things. We keep going back to that drug, that thing. Whatever that thing is for you, everybody's thing is different. So my thing is not your thing. Your thing is not my thing. But you got to figure out what that thing is that you keep going back to, that won't allow you to move forward in God, that won't allow you to advance in the kingdom. What is that thing that keep causing you to feel less than, causing you to miss the mark? What is that thing that keep causing you to be weary, to lose sleep, to feel hopeless, to feel like a failure, to have that grip on you? What is that thing? Ask your neighbor, what is that thing that you won't let go of? Instead of letting it go, you're watering it and replanting it and petting it and helping it grow. Hallelujah. You doing that. It's not even the devil doing that. You doing that. Why is it that you continue to feel rejected and hopeless? And then depression comes and takes up some space. bitterness and self-pity, jealousy, isolation, frustration, anger. And we have to stop comparing ourselves to other people in our family. Well, they're doing this. Why am I not? Why? No. God made you for a reason. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, deal with the root. Where do we find hope? Verse 13, it talks about, O Lord of hosts. I love when Jeremiah get a revelation. Because he said, okay, you know, he's frustrated, he's aggravated, he's going off pretty much. And then he says, O Lord of hosts, you who examine the righteous, who see the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the needy, one from the hand of evildoers. In these verses, we capture a moment where Jeremiah appeals to God for justice. He's displaying both his faith and his anguish. He's not saying, God, kill him. He's showing faith that, God, I believe you'll handle it. I believe you'll take care of it. He's finding hope and strength in God's promise and his presence. Hallelujah. He calls upon God as Lord of hosts, a name that emphasizes God's sovereignty and power over all heavenly and earthly armies. This plea is an act of surrender. So that's what a lot of people do, just surrender. Just surrender. Just let God. As he places the situation into God's hands, trusting that God will bring justice in due time. He's reminded of God's resume. Hallelujah. When I think about the word and what the word does, that's why I always tell people, get into the word, because that's what's going to help you. That's what's going to encourage you. Think about Isaiah 41 and 10. It says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. See that word right there, that encouraged me alone right there. Then if you got Psalm 34, 17, 18, it says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. See, this is the word, y'all. The word is what's going to do this. 2 Corinthians 4, we are troubled at every side. My God, I can look all around sometime and see trouble. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but let me tell you, I'm not destroyed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important for you to have the Holy Ghost. It's not enough to be saved. It's not enough just to be saved and sanctified. You need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's what's going to keep you. Psalm 42, 11 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance, and he's my God. It's the word, y'all. It's the word of God. Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. Tell your neighbor, you can't faint. Hallelujah. Then I love this one. Joshua 1 and 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. That's letting you know right there the enemy going to try to come and steal your what? Your courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I know Apostle M going to like this one. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, for he shall what? Direct thy path. Oh, yes. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, Salani, who could be against us? Hallelujah. You can't beat my God. Hallelujah. These verses encourage believers to find strength and courage in their faith. We need strength and courage. This is what the scripture does for us. Hallelujah. How do we overcome this? Through the word. It's going to be the word that's going to help us get through discouragement. Hallelujah. The weight of discouragement is real. The prophet Jeremiah pours out his heart. He was feeling overwhelmed, deceived, and rejected in his calling. The passage reveals his deep discouragement as he questions his purpose. See, that's it right there. The enemy wants you to question your purpose. He wants you to run away from your purpose. He wants you to put down your purpose. He wants you to give in to your purpose. Or I should say, give up your purpose. Discouragement's assignment is to stop you from fulfilling your purpose. Remember that noose? To suffocate your purpose. It's designed to kill your purpose. Verse 14, this speaks to the reality that even the most faithful servant, as we said earlier, of God, experienced moments of despair. Jeremiah was displaying some raw emotions, y'all. He was being real. He wasn't trying to cover nothing up. He said, this is where I'm at. God invites us to pour out our hearts on him, even when we feel defeated. The Bible tells us to cast our cares upon him, for he do care for us. How do we overcome this discouragement? Sometimes we have to express those frustrations. It's not about walking around saying, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Come on, come on. Okay? We have something that we say when we're on meetings, when something that needs to be said, we say, I need to call this out. You need to call it out. Not just call it out to the atmosphere, but call it out of you. Hallelujah. Because if we look in the mirror really truthfully, we'll see some stuff. We know what we are. We know what we do behind the scenes. We know what we do when the lights go out. Come on, I'm just saying now. And this is not a judgment. This is what I'm talking, what I know. Because I look at me for like Apostle M said last week, the word comes to us first. Y'all don't believe that? So Jeremiah expressed some frustration. Every now and then, this is Brown. Pastor C put out some frustration. I have to share some frustration. Y'all hear Pastor Hector over there laughing a little bit, right? Because I have to call it out in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. But yet, in all that, Jeremiah continued to preach the word. See, we're allowing the enemy to stop us from what we're supposed to be doing for God. But Jeremiah didn't stop. He kept preaching the word. He kept believing that God would deliver him. He kept believing and he kept it real with God. He demonstrated his unshakable faith. Sometimes we got to encourage our own self. Remember David? David had to encourage his own self. Listen, David was running for his life too. People were trying to kill him too. He went and tried to hide in the cave. David was dealing with some stuff, but he had to encourage himself. Come on, say self, get encouraged. Because he knew the power of prayer and worship and praise. He knew that will bring the kingdom of darkness down. He knew that will bring every assignment of the enemy to a halt. In the name of Jesus. And we have to get there to that point where we see it and deal with it. Not see it and say, okay, here we go again. All right. Well, Lord, okay. No, deal with it. I was walking someplace the other day. Take it like that. And something was going on, and I knew it was nothing but the devil. I knew it was nothing but the enemy trying to discourage. I told y'all all week the enemy was trying to discourage me. That's funny how you got to preach about the scripture. That always cracks me up. Like, what's up with that? And then you have to deal with it magnified. And I was walking by and that thing was acting like they were acting. And I began just to go up in the spirit and just begin to use my heavenly language, my warfare language, and tear them, bust that right on up. And then I had the nerve, Apostle M, to go even further and go in for the root of the matter. Because I was seeing it right there, and I said, oh, here we go. Here we go. Right. You see the sorta, right? That's what time it is, y'all. Not just see it and dismiss it. We can't be afraid. You know, oh, well, they'll be right after a while. Oh, yeah, well, when they come to church, they'll pray for them. No, you deal with it right in your house. Come on, how about that? You deal it in your school, on your job. You deal with that in prayer. Now, I'm not saying go up and start, you know, your job and start cutting up. That's not what I'm saying. Come on, let's use some wisdom. But how about get there early and lay your hands on some stuff? Hallelujah. And decree and declare some things in the atmosphere. We have to realize that our God is bigger than the giant. The devil knows it. Why don't we? Because he already know he can't win. He already know he lost. He already know it's a losing battle. But we need to know. Hallelujah. Who our God is and the God that we serve. We need to know it and act like we know. Jeremiah said it was like fire. He tried. He was like, I'm done with this. I'm done with you, God. I'm tired of this. But he said it was like fire. About shake it up, oh, shut up in his bones. Could you imagine that? Could you visualize that every time you go to try to sit down and try not to do what God said? That's why the turmoil for That's why the turmoil for some of us, folks online, that's why the turmoil, you sitting at home, that's why the turmoil, you won't come to church, that's why the turmoil, you won't say yes to God, that's why the turmoil, that's why the discouragement, that's why the fight, because you won't say yes to God. Yeah, I said it. Hallelujah. That wasn't in my notes. Hallelujah. It's out there now. That's how God does it. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. Because the goal is to get you free. The goal is to see you fulfill the purpose, plan, and destiny God has for your life. The goal is for you to do better. We want better for you. There's some of you sitting here right now that know you're supposed to be doing some things for God, but you won't do it. You won't do it. And you try to hide and do some other stuff. But God said, I see you. Yeah. But folks' lives are hanging in the balance, and you won't do what God called you to do. He called you to be a prophetic voice, but you won't do it. He called you to pray more, you won't do it. He called you to sing, but you won't do it. He's still calling. And you can't stop God. Hallelujah. God didn't call us to be wusses, y'all. Come on, he called us to be warriors. He is the God of war. Remember, there is victory through surrender. Somebody shout out victory over the giant of discouragement. And as I close, all Jeremiah, he went back and forth. And that thing fired me up so bad. I was like, really, dude? Really? That's what you're doing? But then I was reminded that later on in other verses, other scriptures, other chapters, Jeremiah didn't leave it there, y'all. I don't want y'all to think he left it like that. Because Jeremiah continued to do his prophetic work in the Lord. He continued to be resilient. He continued to have his relationship with God. He continued to move forward in God. He conveys the God's promises of restoration and hope for Israel. He didn't stop there. He didn't say, oh, well, that's it. I'm done. No, he kept going. He believed God. He moved with God. He said, they've got me out here making a spectacle of me. Yes, I'm going through this. Yes, I'm having this issue here, the issue there. But he said, I will still do my assignment. I will still stand for God. I will still do what's right. I don't care what my neighbor is doing. I don't care what they're doing in ABC church. I don't care if that person is cussing, that person is fussing, that person is drinking, that person drugging, that person sexing. I will still stand for God. I will do what's right. I will worship him. I will answer the call. I will say yes to his will. I will say yes to his way. I will fight. Hallelujah. I'm going to fight this giant. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not standing still. I'm not allowing no giant of discouragement to take me out. I'm not allowing no giant of fear to keep me back. I'm not allowing no giant of doubt, hallelujah, to take away my praise. Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then I think about when God says, when I call upon him, he will answer and show me great and mighty things I know it's not. Anybody looking for the great and mighty? Anybody else want more from God? Hallelujah. Are you okay with just as Apostle Willie says, a little dab would do you? I'm not okay with that. Hallelujah. I want more from God. I want his fullness. Hallelujah. I want to see his glory. Hallelujah. I want to see him open up blind eyes. Hallelujah. I want to see him grow out limbs. I want to see him raise the dead. I want to see my mother healed. I got to come down on that. Because I believe, I know the enemy will try to tell stuff. He'll try to say, well, this way it's going to be always. I don't believe that. I want to see my family healed. Not just healed from physical sickness, but I want to see them healed from other things too. You know our family can be a trip sometime. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not just my family. I know it's your family too, right? You have some people's a trip in your family too, right? So I know it's just not me, right? Gardner, you have some people a trip, right? We all have people's a trip in our family. Hallelujah. So I know I'm not alone. But I want to see God move that thing. I want to see him heal cancer. Hallelujah. I want to see him heal diabetes. I want to see him give new kidneys. I want to see him give us my a new heart. I want to see God go into the hospital and just, matter of fact, I want to go into the hospital and just walk on through there. And then all of a sudden, people start getting up out of their bed and say, oh, I'm ready to be discharged. I don't have that pain anymore. Oh, my God, you gave me a new pancreas. When did y'all do that? Doctors are baffled. We didn't do that. God, hallelujah. I want to see God do that kind of stuff. I want to see God fix sibling rivalry in the name of Jesus. See, all that stuff is part of discouragement. The enemy tried to discourage us with that. He'll say, oh, well, look, your family is this. Oh, well, you're not feeling well. You have this illness. No, the devil is a liar. Where there's disorder, God is bringing what? Order. So where there's discouragement, God is going to bring order to that too. Hallelujah. So lift up ye heads, oh, ye gates. And be ye lifted up the everlasting doors. Hallelujah. And the King of glory comes in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Hallelujah. Come on and give God a praise. Praise him for your victory. Praise him for victory over the giant of discouragement. Praise him for your family. Praise him for your children. Praise him for your children's children. Praise him for your children's children's children. Hey, boy, shake it. God, we thank you. We thank you for victory. We thank you for overcoming power. We thank you for miracles. We thank you for signs and wonders. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the turnaround. We thank you. We take authority of every giant. We take authority now in the name of Jesus. We push them back in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your warring angels doing combat in the atmosphere. We thank you, oh God, that we have victory over discouragement. We have victory over fear. We have victory over pride. We have victory over doubt. We have victory over bitterness. We have victory.